This week on RSBNB Update, Iron Man joined the rest of us in boss instances. Solak goes solo, and Zamorak's drop system gets a rework. Then we look to the future with Master Maxcapes and RuneScape's 29th skill on a new development roadmap. This is RSBNB Update, episode 901, recorded Thursday, September 22nd, 2022. Iron Man bossing? Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of RSBNB Update. This week is a mini Ninja Strike, I think, as they're calling it. Yeah, the Combat Mini Strike. And I don't think it could be more mini than what we got this week. It's very heavy on Group PVM, Iron Man, and whatnot. Tanis is here. Welcome.
Thank you, Shane.
And, you know, I was looking at this news post on Monday, and the first person to jump into my mind of who needed to be there for this is David. Welcome to the show, David.
Hey.
David is... go ahead.
No, nothing.
Okay, David's one of our PVM experts, and primarily now plays on an Iron Man, has done tons of Virago, tons of Solak, so it made sense to have you in for this one. And also, in addition to David, Thaxi is here. You surprised me when you said you wanted to be on this week's show. I thought it was about the development update, but it's about Iron Man.
No, I messaged you before that development update was released. I also have thoughts and feelings about the Iron Man changes. So we'll get around to that.
Alrighty, sounds good. And we also... of course, have the development update about the path the game is going to be taking in the upcoming months, a bit of an update on that. But nonetheless, we're here to deliver you guys RSBNB update. If you want to follow along, you can find full show notes at update.show. You can find me in-game at Shane12088. Tanis can be found in-game at Tanis79. David, what's your current RuneScape name?
It's still Ecalgo. I don't really play on my main except double XP weekend.
All right, fair. And Thaxi can be found at Thaxi. Okie dokes.
Oh, of course. And Thaxi Cab and whatever next week's going to be.
Oh, yeah. I haven't even thought about what the name for my fresh start's going to be.
We got to make those accounts. They just can't log in on them yet. It has to be done. And the earlier you do it, the more usernames are going to be available.
Yeah, that's right.
TikTok.
And we're also in friends chat, Bits Bytes. As well, yeah. If you want to hang out with us, if you're taking part in Fresh Start next week.
Log in on Monday. You'll find at least a few of us there.
Circling and circling and circling. But before that, Iron Man. Iron Man combat update this week, of all things. It surprised me to see this. I know, David, there's been lots of talk in the Iron Man community about getting these updates for a long time.
Yeah,
time.
People have been asking for this for literally years, so it's not terribly surprising in that respect.
Yeah, and you know, it's good to give the players what they want in terms of, in effect, buying goodwill with these updates. I know you and I talked a bit this week, Tanis, about how most of the focus so far has been on Fresh Start, but you know, with some of the feedback that Fresh Start received, this is a good update to deliver right after that, right?
It is, and. Yeah, this is good, and we'll talk about Fresh Start later. I
have some comments.
Yeah, I have some. I have thoughts and hashtag thoughts and feelings.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. All right. So to start off, combat restrictions have been removed for Iron Man accounts interacting with normal accounts, which means that Iron accounts can now enter boss instances alongside regular accounts. The Iron accounts will be awarded drops in the same manner as normal accounts, including through loot share. They also removed grouping and matchmaking restrictions between account types. Iron accounts are no longer required to use instances for bosses where an uninstanced version is available. And in line with above, they also removed the discount for Iron instances. Okay. So of these changes here, David, which bosses are you going to be most interested in jumping on with this? We'll talk about the soul actions after.
So, I mean, most of the people I PVM with are Iron Man anyways.
Okay.
But it does let me PVM with a bunch of people I haven't done group content with
like
in
me.
A couple years. Yeah, I really haven't done PVM on my main since about, well, since the beginning of the pandemic. So 2020, early 2020 was the last time I was actively playing my main, because that's when I kind of switched to Iron Man. And it'll be nice to finally be able to do bosses with people I haven't been able to in a really long time. So I'm definitely looking forward to that.
Which one are you looking forward to most?
I mean, I guess Zamorak and Solak, since those are the two group bosses that I currently do. Eventually, probably Hard Mode Viraga will be nice. That's the one I'm most excited about. Because it is so difficult to get Iron Man who want to do Hard Mode Viraga, because there's like no reason that you would ever do it except for Bombi, I suppose, or getting your insane final boss requirement. But yeah, I would say definitely Hard Mode Viraga eventually will be the thing that this is most benefited for, because the number of people who do that boss is tiny. And the percentage of people who do that boss is even tinier among Iron Man, because there's no reason you would ever do it. Other things are pretty active for Iron Man anyways, so it's not super impactful. But I would say that boss is where it'll probably have the most effect in terms of Iron Man who are already at the end game.
You already got your wand on your Iron Man from Viraga, right?
Yeah, I got Seismics a while ago on my Iron Man. I just did a bunch of solo and duo Viraga for a few months and got those. I got pretty unlucky on them, but eventually I got them.
All right. So Solak, Zamorak, and Hard Mode Viraga. Makes sense, I guess. And, you know, I think we'll have a conversation about the integrity of Iron Man after, because that's something else that fits entirely.
I may use my main to make AFK stuff faster,
okay.
And just give my main like tier 80 weapons so that my Iron Man always out DPSs my main, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
because so, like,
I mean, multi-logging is allowed, right?
Yeah, so one of the main things I do AFKing right now is I just AFK Vindicta for aftershock components. And kills are just slightly faster if I put my main in the same instance and give him like, you know, tier 80 weapons or something, so my Iron Man always gets the drop. So I may consider that. I probably won't actually do that because my PC is terrible. But theoretically, that would be a nice thing to do.
All right, fair enough. Tanis, any thoughts?
We're
not Iron Man, you and I.
No, but I saw this and I know a lot of people that play Iron Man, and I knew that they had been asking for this for a while. So, yeah.
But other before than we that, move to
I've got thoughts on this too.
We're not moving on yet. Chains. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Before we move to integrity stuff, by the way, something to shout out is the grouping system changes. So obviously, Iron Man and mains have been able to do Krosis together since the beginning. But it was unbelievably irritating because the grouping system, while it was intended to work for irons and mains to PVM together, if an Iron Man and a main were on the same world, they could not invite each other to the group.
Oh,
so it made making Krosis teams annoying, because you would have to like change your world so that you can get invited and then change back the worlds. There were a couple other glitches too that just made it irritating. It wasn't an issue, because obviously you don't even need to be in a group to do Krosis, but making random Krosis teams in the friends chat is now much less annoying that the grouping system does not have Iron Man based restrictions any longer.
Okay, so presumably with removing grouping and matchmaking restrictions, that should all be gone with this. Have you tested the grouping system this week?
Yeah, I mean, the grouping system is still like, you know, the grouping
janky.
It's like not the best. Like it's janky as intended, instead of being unintentionally janky.
Additionally,
it's normal. Yeah, it is now normal levels of janky instead of like supreme jank.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah, and that's where we go next in terms of group forming channels and the grouping system, and that Iron Man of course, can now take part in all that with everybody being able to mix and mingle. The biggest ones, of course, are Nex and raids, of course, which is where you right. come in, Daxi.
The Nex is an interesting one too. I think Iron Men are now able to actually get into the maps, AOD, which is rather. Eavesdrops, anyways. Yes, of course. Regular Nex, I think I remember probably doing okay, generally speaking, before.
Yeah, it does make AOD massing accessible to Iron Man. Although it's like such a disastrously inefficient way to get your drops. Like, I don't know why you would do that. I suppose
so many reasons. Yes.
Yeah. So I think
roll the dice when you're tired.
Right. It is an option, but it's being able to access a pretty terrible option.
But the biggest thing, and obviously the one that I am more heavily involved in, is the Raids FC, which we have had a back and forth very recently. So when the FC cap was increased from 100 people to 500 people, you know, a month or so ago, whenever that was, we have, as the staff of the FC, we had a long, long conversation about how, like, now we've got the extra space, there's no reason we couldn't do multiple levels of team forming if we had a group of Iron Men who wanted to use the FC for team forming, because we've been sending Irons away for a long time, and it's been a very much a situation of kind of the Iron Men that are trying to get into raids at a very base level often do not have the gear that is wanted in a lot of some of the at least Iron team forming channels, and so they don't necessarily want to be affiliated with us. And we had a back and forth with them, but at the same time, they didn't love having Iron Man team forming in their channels either, because it requires 10 full people, and the Iron community might be a little smaller. Forming those teams took a long time, so you'd get a lot of people, and especially if you don't have like a base tank or something, right? You need people with gear, and the people who have the gear to do that might not need the rewards from raids anymore. And so it just becomes a question of, especially since a lot of the supplies that are dropped from raids are now also dropped from Elder God Wars bosses. So it becomes a question of like team forming for Iron Man. From everything I heard and everything we were hearing from these people, was challenging and kind of flooded their communities in a way that they weren't super pleased with. So we were debating if we wanted to. We had a couple of Iron Man communities who were potentially going to join the FC and bring their kind of a couple of their moderators to join the FC staff and do some, you know, stuff with that. And we did decide against that for a number of reasons relating to kind of kill quality and divided communities and things, without having any expectation that this would happen. And so now, you know, the concern we had on Tuesday when this was announced was, all right, heck, you know, we're going to have like these Iron Men who may be under-geared coming and trying to join teams in the FC, are we going to get a flood of reports? And I can tell you at this point, I don't think it's spilling the pooch too much. I don't think I have seen it through our reports feed this week, any Iron Men getting reported.
Oh, that's good.
For gear requirements. Now, that's not to say that they're not just being removed from teams in the FC temporarily, right. And by people saying, hey, you know, and they might be being very reasonable about it in a way that other people aren't always. Because we do, what we decided at this point is, again, we're maintaining our gear requirements for Iron Man who joined the FC, is to have them still wearing that tier 90 weapons, tier 80 power armor. And, you know, prayers and the, you know, our general base requirements.
Is that your requirement for BM or just full?
Regardless, everybody, for anybody who wants to read with FC, there's four requirements. It's curses with tier 95 curses. Tier 90 weapon, tier 80 power armor, and overloads. So you have those four things, you can read at the FC. And then obviously, you know, Donus fix the team and the usual like actual rules. But in terms of gear requirements, that's what your account has to have to do the FC. And so Irons and Mains, we've had, you know, Irons just in the FC this whole week running raids and getting their codexes and everything. So I think that's a positive change. Again, it's Iron Man getting tier 90 weapons. Like, you're looking kind of Araxor, maybe Ice Telos.
Do you distinguish between main and offhand? So, like, if I had a main hand Ascension and an offhand static crossbow, do you care?
Both. We do. We oh, would really? Care. Yeah.
That seems, I mean, that seems odd. Like, the difference is, like, 0.025.
Not,
like,
it's not
it's
huge.
Basically zero. You know, I don't know. It seems weird. But fair. But it rules are rules.
I mean, and the same thing could be made, and we've had a lot of these conversations about, like, well, if you've got G-Conk, Tier 85 wands, you're going to be better than an Oxstaff anyways. And like, we're fully aware.
Yeah, way better. Thing,
right?
Yeah.
Or it's like, just the policing that is challenging because we don't, like, are we going to have everybody who wants to use Tier 85 send us a picture of their G-Conk? Like,
no, that would be silly.
Yeah, tracking that is, it becomes crazy. So, yeah. And it is, like, we do give some, we're going to say this very unofficially, some leeway when it comes to kind of offhands. Like, we get it. We know. We're not trying to be super crazy. But if you don't meet Rex and somebody, you know, requests you to have them, we do give you kind of a... There's a short grace period unofficially that we may or may not choose to extend to people.
The other Iron Man thing is, like, boots and gloves. Because there's certainly examples where Iron Man will have, like, Serenic top and chaps, but they just haven't gotten Armadale boots yet, or next boots rather.
So I was gonna say it would have to be next boots, like, or
like, I know hard someone one. who has like an Eldritch crossbow and Hydrobolts and full Siren, but no good boots because they just haven't gotten a Raksha boot pair yet. And like, it would seem silly to be like, you know, you have bad boots, so you can't come, even though you have PB in your EOF. And
again, it's we kind of get it, you know, and the official line on it is still tier 80, but like, we kind of get it, you know.
So overall, would you say it's been a good experience this week so far?
It seems like the Iron Men who are using the FC have integrated well, and you know, the people that have the gear are certainly capable of doing the content.
Of course.
For Iron Men especially, so nobody's looking at that and saying, what are you doing here?
And
generally,
you know,
speaking, I mean,
and once again, it's a very positive thing I find with this. So I'm glad to hear that from your end. On that, and it feels like raids is going to be the biggest one, 10 people, and then the AOD masses and AOD teams are also a thing.
Well, it gives an option for the communities that don't want LFBM spam in their channels to say, hey, go to the FC, thank you, bye.
Yeah.
You know, take it or leave it, or PVMing, or, you know, whoever these other groups that, again, I think most people are still, like, just enforcing the requirements as is, but... You know, PVMing will take people with tier 85 weapons, for example, to Beastmaster. So
we're kind of going on this walk here now, in that, you know, Iron Men can group with non-Iron Men for various content and whatnot. Does that impact the Iron Men in any way who might not have been able to do that content before? You know, both of you guys, Tanis, David, actually,
what do you mean by impact them?
So I'll explain this too, because I kind of wanted to put this on there. The idea, as far as I understood it, was that, like, a lot of times Iron Men who wanted to get, like, Raids Codexes might be a good example of this, would be not, like, air quotes carried, but, you know, they might have much worse gear than a lot of people who were on their teams for certain bosses like Virago or other things, where they would get, you know, air quotes carried to having better gear in order to, like, do harder content easier, you know, to be able to then carry that. And they're like, the idea that, you know, they were there and they people who are now with them had to do that too. Does this devalue the question is kind of, does that change the Iron Man experience that Iron Man could now join groups and just get air quotes carried by mains or, you know, in other situations?
This would have been true if they couldn't already get carried by an end game Iron Man. Like if you were like, I'm going to switch to Iron Man and you asked me to like carry you to, you know, full tier 80 stuff, I would just do it. And there's no change. Like, I guess there are more people you could get carried by, but I would say the majority of the Iron Man community at this point is either end game or like, I mean, not end game in a main sense, but like they have tier 90 weapons. They have G-Conk. They have Animate Dead. they might not have full Crypt Bloom, but they've got, you know, they've got most pieces. Like, yeah, so most of, there are just not that many people in the Iron Man community who aren't at least in possession of a tier 90 weapon, some tier 80 power armor, some like magic stuff. And so you could already get carried. I guess the only
difference was the feedback I got too. Like effectively this is already happening. There's just now a bigger pool of people able to help the Iron Man get to endgame. Like that's where we are.
The only thing it maybe changes is there are more people you could buy leeches from, but Iron Man
the price of leeches went down a lot.
Iron Man leech FCs already existed. Now you just don't have to pay as much for them, which I guess you could say that that's bad, but it seems like a weird argument to be like expensive leeches are good, because it's not like you couldn't get them, you just would have to pay more. So I don't know, I don't really think it has any integrity impact at all, just because you could do every single thing you could do now you could already do. The only difference is that once you get to the end game you aren't restricted in who you can play with.
Yep.
So does it impact the, would you say, does it devalue the Iron Man experience at all, or is this just a net benefit?
To me, there are zero downsides
whatsoever,
because any possible downside is already a thing that was happening.
People were already getting carried to gear. It's just now you can do it by people who weren't irons who were willing to help, you know?
All right. Tannis, any thoughts on how the... I know you're not an Iron Man. I'm not an Iron Man. I'm mostly guiding this discussion forward. Do you have any thoughts that you want to add in before we move on to the tree boss?
No, I mean, I think it's been explained pretty well. You could already do all these things, you know, regardless. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't seem like that big of a change in that regard.
All right, fair enough. Moving on to Solak, and this is what I definitely want to hear from David on. Solak can now scale down to solo gameplay using the same values per player as other group sizes. So this means there's a base life points of 2 million, core life points of 125k, the arms 45k, legs 35k. If a player were to damage Solak to his hit cap in phase 2, further damage will now continue to deplete the Solak's purple bar instead of scaling down. They also removed the clearing of buffs and debuffs for the player who climbs up Solak's arm. They fixed a double space typo in Solak's chat attack callouts. And retimed the projectiles to be consistent with the recent Raksha and Zamorak bosses for prayer switching and whatnot. Okay.
That part's pretty cool. Because... I mean, it's hard to explain, but it's just nice to have consistency across the board and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. So where does this put us, David? You were soloing it before the show. How did it feel?
Similar in difficulty to duo if you're tanking. I would say that Solak is basically the same, which is that you're likely to get the most efficient kills at 4-man, maybe 3, maybe 5. But most people do 4s now because it's just, well, I mean, if you're good enough, everything is pretty much equally as efficient. But the things that make kills faster is being able to hit the HP cap before a mechanic comes out, so you don't have to deal with that mechanic. So, for example, there are roots that spawn on phase 1, but if you can hit the HP cap prior to that mechanic happening, then it significantly increases the speed of the fight. There are lots of examples of this throughout, and basically having 3 or 4 people tends to make it much easier to do that. So I would say solo is more difficult than trio or 4-man, but similar in difficulty to duo based on
duo if you're tanking. Okay.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know. I found it pretty easy. All of the HP caps are fine. The mines don't seem to work anymore because mines only explode if the target has the possible amount of HP that the mine does or more. And the root's only 7,500 HP. So not being able to mine rootlings is weird, but ultimately pretty irrelevant.
In your solo run, David, how did it feel in terms of just smoothness and whatnot? Were there any snafus technically wise and whatnot, or was it
mostly... No, everything is totally fine. For the purpose of killing rootlings on phase one, you got to run around the arena a little bit more. So it's probably a little bit slower than duo for that reason, because you would just like split up east and west, right? But it seems very, very chill, pretty easy. All of the HP thresholds are reasonable. I still think that larger teams are definitely much, much easier than solo, but solo is now infinitely easier than it was prior to this.
Yeah.
Yeah, while like solo was certainly doable because magic is just in cartoon lands. And also yeah. because big arrows are so good for phase four.
Oh, really? So is that the use case people have decided on for Bic with Solak?
Well, yeah, I mean...
Specifically solo, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah, really, you don't need them at all for more than solo. But yeah, it makes solo Solak a lot easier because the poison damage really adds up in phase four, which is just an execute phase. But really, if you had max mage, solo was not that big of a deal, but it was still significantly harder than 2-0. Now, I think if you have max mage gear, solo Solak is quite reasonable and doable and relatively easy, I would say.
And that's what I wanted to hear. So you'd say it's probably on par with tanking duo?
Yeah, maybe slightly harder. But yeah, I would say so.
All right, sounds good. And they did say on this one, thank you to all the Solak discords we consulted on this one.
Yeah, they basically did what the player base told them to do. Pretty much exactly, and that tends to work out pretty well in terms of balancing content that's been out for, what did we say, 4 years now?
Yeah.
Wild.
All right, time to turn the page and talk about doing what the player base wanted them to do. Changes to Zamorak's drop table mechanics this week. Tanis, any initial thoughts before we start running through these?
I don't know. Should we continue to do what the players want them to do?
I mean, they did what the player base wanted them to do, and then the player base was angry at them for doing it.
Yeah, how's that
working
out?
It's a no-win right there.
Yeah.
That's
Jagex's. So many levels this week to that.
Yep. All right, so starting off, bad luck mitigation can now only be accumulated if you're doing kills at 100% in rage or higher. Previously, it was 0% and higher, so you don't get that bad luck mitigation to improve your rare drop chances or drop chances in general, if I remember how it works.
Yeah. Now I feel like I should have done this boss and nothing else because missed opportunity. Woof.
Bad luck mitigation modifier now increases at different speeds depending on the enrage percent of your kill. This, of course, factors in and makes it so that higher enrage kills are more fruitful, which is, again, what the community asked for. 100%, it'll be 1x, 500%, 2x, 1,004x.
The vocal very good PVMers of the community asked for this. And yeah. I'm not going to tell you that you shouldn't have better drop rates for higher enrages. And I do appreciate that they, like, gave a large increase, it seems, to things, especially at very high enrage. They've effectively added a reason to do high enrage kills that might have not existed before.
Okay, that's a fair point. Mm-hmm. And the final mulligan.
But at the same time.
8 for 2,000%.
Yeah. My thoughts on this, and I think David will have the exact opposite opinion.
Let me just read the last patch note first.
Yeah, do it.
The drop chance of a rare item used to be capped at a 1 in 20 with bad luck mitigation. Now if you're doing a higher enraged kill, this cap is further lowered to 1 in 10 at 1,000 and 1 in 5 at 2,000%.
Right. If you're dry. Specifically if you're dry,
right,
it can
yeah.
get that high. It's not that
yeah,
it's guaranteed, it's that it can. Yeah.
Yeah, it sure is not 1 in 5 for 2k kills, which is what some people are whining about, and it doesn't make any sense because
no,
that's
it doesn't.
Not how it works at all.
This is only when the bad luck mitigation factors in. So
my guess with this is that there's going to be a lot of people doing 500, 1,000, and specifically 2,000% kills now, but my question on it, and my take with this is, I would like more of these drops coming into the game. I think they take too long and are too rare and should not be as valuable as they are based on, like, I think that's true just across the board for the game, by the way. Like, this is my hot take for the day, that all rare drops in RuneScape are too rare and should be cheaper. And I'm sorry, PVMers, because I know that that cuts into your profits and your big dopamine hits, myself included. But the amount of time you have to spend to get a drop in the game does not feel satisfying to me at this point. I will still be doing it on Fresh Start Worlds because I still want some of the drops, but I am not going to be hunting for anything higher tier than a Rax weapon, frankly. Because of that reason, I just do not care to do it. And my question with this is that there, I have a feeling there were a lot of people who were doing this boss, especially, you know, when they had just gotten a drop in the 0 to 100 range, because the last phase is nutty.
Yeah.
And a lot of people just generally doing it probably in the 100 to 500% range. And my expectation with this change is that the number of drops coming into the game might be lower, and that may be wrong. It may be that there's that all the people who are still killing Zami at this point, the most common kills of Zami, are being just done at high end rages. But I think that there's a lot of people who just like do it for a Reaper task or do it for, you know, the onesie twosies at lower percent kills. And I dislike that this potentially makes it harder for things to come in the game because you don't have that bad luck protection below 100%.
Yeah, agree.
Now I am not killing this anymore, so this is not really a debating to me problem. I liked it. It was fine. I enjoyed it, but I'm not going for final boss anymore. I'm not worried about having a 100 kill count at this. Yeah, that's my thing, is that,
I
mean, it could be the drops are less rare. Maybe everybody who's doing this who really wants money from it is actually just straight up, it's the people who did 2449s at Telos are now doing 2000% of this now and racking in drop rates. Yeah. And maybe that's better. I don't know.
I want to piggyback on this and say that my, aside from what you just outlined here, my problem with these changes and how they were followed through by the community is kind of what we alluded to a couple weeks back, where if you look at the very design for the Zamorak boss, in particular how story mode could drop the rare items, it's very clear that from a design perspective, they wanted the drops to be able to come in through the entire spectrum of the kill and not necessarily just be over-rewarded at the very high-end enrage stuff, like you said, when you see people camping the $24.99 Teloses and whatnot. So that's my issue with this, is that just analyzing what we had before, it feels like this is counter to everything we saw with the Zamorak, design.
Well, and again, like, if the feedback was, and we don't know what these numbers were before, if you got, you know, the bad luck mitigation modifier of 1 per kill count, regardless of enrage, people at higher enrages will bring more drops into the game. And that's fine, it just hurts people who were, you know, low enrage farming 0% for them. Right? Which, you know, maybe that shouldn't have been a viable strategy. Again, I want people to be able to play with the fun new toys, and as the game stands right now, it's really hard for people to play with the fun new toys based on cost.
Yeah.
You know? Earning them sucks, so...
Tanis, do you have any follow-ups based on our discussion when the table was announced and what we just went through here?
Not really. I mean, I'm just the only thought that I have that keeps kind of running through my head, and it'll continue to run through my head, is I think I'm tired of the tyranny of the vocal minority.
And the question is, and I have no idea to the answer to this. So I just need to be clear with that, Tanis. Is that was this a minority who were complaining about this that got this changed, and the majority was happy? And I think that'd be an interesting thing to probe a little bit deeper into, in that, you know, is Jagex making knee-jerk changes just based on noise, or, you know, is there some analysis happening behind the scenes to ensure that everything that was done with these is going to be good for the long-term health of the game, to ensure, as Taxi says, that people can get the new toys to factor in. I just want to talk about what bad luck mitigation is, as a whole, as a reminder that I'm going to go to David on this. So after everything is said and done with the drops, bad luck mitigation applies after 10 kills without a rare drop. And they said, and this is the point from the last post, at that point you'll be getting sad. So with this, beyond the 10-kill threshold, it reduces the player's rare chance denominator by 1. The bad luck mitigation would have no effect on which rare the player will roll, only the chance to hit the rare drop table, and bad luck mitigation is not increased by and does not affect story mode. And that's effectively how bad luck mitigation works before you have the 1 in 20 cap that then became 1 in 10 and 1 in 5 for the various enrages. So, David, what's your thoughts on these changes here?
I think mostly pretty good. I don't really think that they needed to remove it entirely for sub 100. They could have maybe kept it the same, but it clearly was an issue that 50% enrage was way, way, way more rewarding to the point of not even being close than 2000. That just doesn't make sense. Yep. And so I think
that's true.
Buffing higher enrage kills, I think it's good. Something interesting, though, to think about is just that the difference between doing 100% and doing sub 100% is just like doing two completely different bosses. So having them be equally rewarding was just kind of a bit strange because it's just doing two totally different pieces of content. Like one where it takes you, I don't know, 50% kills or 99% kills prior to the release for maybe 3 minutes and 30 seconds or something. Your chance of death was basically zero. You could just like chill with Revolution and not really look at your screen and you'd be fine. And now it kind of creates a big incentive to at least do the final phase, which is probably a good thing. In terms of affecting prices, it doesn't seem to have affected prices a ton, because I think that that's true for two reasons. One is just that all that it requires for you to go from doing 49% kills to doing 100% kills is just learning how to do the last phase. And once you learn how to do it, it's really not that bad. It just adds a minute or so, but it is a sort of a skill difference. And the other thing is that you could just keep doing 49%. Like it's not like your entire drop rate was reliant on bad luck mitigation.
Yeah, clearly, that's true. That's
clearly
true.
That mattered, but if you like the content and it is pretty good money for you, it's not like you need to change what you're doing. You could still do 3 minute 49% kills all day long and you'll still get a fair number of drops. It's just that people doing 2000s or 500s now have kind of a reason to do them. Even still, like, you probably are not going to make as much money at those, although there's not enough math yet to totally figure that out. I do think they did a good job of not creating a Tello situation where 2449 is just obscene, like 250 mil an hour or something.
I'll challenge that a little bit, though, right? When you think about the math behind this, it's a 1 in 100 base chance to roll the table. When you hit 300% chance, that chance is now 1 in 50. So, like, and you decrease that number by 8 for every 2,000% kill. So, like, you know, if the number is, like, you know, 1 in 20 or 1 in 30 or whatever for a 2,000% kill, and I could do that math, but I'm not going to try to do it in my head right now looking at the tables and the numbers in the table.
Yeah, we want to get it right.
Yeah. Like, I mean, but at the same time, you could do 5 kills at 49% in the same time you get a single kill at 2000.
That's true.
Assuming you're really good at 2000, like you're just like booking it.
But what the statistic really says is that the other thing is that it is 10 kills without a drop, right? So you do 10 kills at 49.
You're investing 10 kills at 3 hours to get there.
I just have to say, and then you do like 4 kills at 2000, and for every kill you do at that point and after above 1000, you have a 1 in 10 chance, or above 2000, you have a 1 in 5 chance for every kill.
I thought that it doesn't roll over anymore. So, like, the big issue prior to the update was you would do 10 kills at 49 and then go do 2000. Right. So like the thing that I think this update was trying to fix is you camp bad luck mitigation at low enrage and then go do a couple. Like that was the meta, is you do 10 kills at 49. That takes you 30 minutes. And then with your 30 minutes remaining of your 1 hour of Zamorak time, you go do a couple of high enrage kills.
I tell you what, so you have to do your first 10 kills at 100%. But you can accumulate it. So what I'm saying is you then and what it just affects your bad luck modifier. So the way that I'm understanding this math is that the modifier applies based on whatever your denominator is. And so if you're a 1 in 50 at 300%, 1 in 30, 20, whatever it is, at 200%, and you just have a bad luck modifier, you just do 3 2,000% kills, you have a bad luck modifier of 24. You're now 13 kills in, 10 of those are 100%. 3 of those are 2,000%. Every kill you do above 2,000% thereafter is just a 1 in 5.
I agree with this.
They're guaranteeing a drop like every 17, which is not that far off from the Telos numbers, right? I don't know how long the kill time is between the two, but...
Yeah, I mean, it that's true. It's not super far off. The kill times are like 3 times longer. But the more important thing that you're getting to is like... Because 2449 Telos kills are around maybe 4:30 to 5 minutes or something, and 2000 Enraged Zamorak kills, I think, are still around 13 minutes or something. But regardless, what you're getting at is that they didn't fix the core problem, which is that the bad luck mitigation should not carry over through across brackets. Like every bracket having different bad luck mitigation only makes sense if bad luck mitigation doesn't carry over when you are doing a different bracket. And I don't, obviously don't know anything about the coding or technical difficulty of that kind of thing, but very clearly you should not be able to do 10 kills at 100 and then have that carry over to 2000.
And then start accumulating it.
And with that, I was going to say, you're actually starting to convince me that the bad luck modification change on this is actually a decent change. You're starting to convince me of that. I don't know if I'm 100% there yet, though.
It's also that, like, when you do 2000, it is much harder. Like, I can justify them increasing the number as it stands for higher in range kills, because it's what this effectively is that you do get rewarded at least somewhat. It pushes people so that you don't just do 10 kills at 49% or whatever. You do them elsewhere, but like, it is a little bit, or that it's requiring people to at least do phase 7 now.
You for your rage camping, you at least have to do phase 7, and even if you're not doing 2,000, if you're doing like
1,000, yeah, 1,000 is the alternative. 500, yeah.
It just those enrages are
hard,
significantly more difficult. I mean, it's a big difference, and
for sure,
I really don't think. I don't think that they like nuked people doing 49s though.
You
could still.
The only thing that has been changed is the bad luck mitigation, and there's nothing to say that you're going to even need that bad luck mitigation.
Well,
though I'm being fairly optimistic.
Over time, mathematically, this is a nerf to 49s, but
it's an incredible nerf to 49s. Yeah, you're getting at least like 1/3 less drops, if not 50% as many drops, if you're camping 49. Like, it is without any bad luck mitigation, you get a drop every 100 kills rather than a drop on average every, like, I think it's 66, and I would have to do that math less quickly in my head. But you get significantly less drops with that bad luck mitigation at 49%.
Yeah.
But again, like, it's semantics at that point. I think
is it a good change or bad change as we walk out of this?
I think it's 2 steps forwards, 1 step back. I agree. It's 1 step forward, 2 steps back. If that semantic,
that makes sense. Okay,
I think it is probably a good change. It's a change in the direction that the boss should be going. My personal gripe with it is that it potentially, I think, decreases the number of drops that will come into the game, and I dislike that. But it will incentivize people to do the more challenging version of the boss fight.
And
if people find that challenge enjoyable, maybe there will be more. My gripes are for nothing. But either way, I'm not getting any drops from it for darn sure.
A lot of people who were camping 99s prior to the... Like everyone was camping 99s, and they realized 49 was the new 99, and they switched to 49s. But all the people doing 49s were originally doing 99s. So they could all do 99 claims.
Right.
And I think that having to do an extra phase, once you learn how the phase works, it's actually not hard at 100 because it's not very punishing. Like once you learn how it works, it just adds a little bit of time to each kill. Sure. So I think that all of the people doing 49s will just switch to doing hundreds and it won't have a huge impact other than a couple less kills per hour. So maybe two or three less kills per hour. Like it may be a small learning curve to learn how phase seven works, but you just watch a video that tells you how phase seven works, do the thing, and within five or six phase sevens, you get it. Yeah. It's not like enormously wildly more difficult or something. It really, until you get to a higher enrage, and then it is, because making a mistake is just death. Whereas at 100, making a mistake isn't death because you've debilitated or you have
whatever
disruption or whatever else. Like the other thing it changes is it like makes phase one through six potentially more difficult if you do the thing where you do relics in reverse order so that phase seven is easier. So it does make it harder. It's just like not so much harder that I just like if you could do 99s, you also have the skill to do hundreds.
That's
you
true.
Just have to spend a little bit of time learning it and then you will be fine. Like I don't think the skill difference between 99 and 100 is such that it'll make a difference.
It does mean that you have to learn the whole fight, and that is a good thing, right? Like you said, that's at least a step forward. So
yeah, two steps forward, one step back. I think that's a good.
Yeah, because the one step back is they haven't changed carryover across brackets, which is absurd. Like it's ridiculous. Like if Telos worked that way, where you could do 20 Telos kills at 100, then do one Telos kill at 2449, like.
And get a 100 streak of 2449. Yeah, exactly.
That'd be a little bit absurd.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's a coding issue, which is why they haven't done it, because that's the obvious change everyone asked for.
Yeah. But okay. I realize Tannis probably. I don't know if you've gone through your Zamorak story mode or whatnot, but if you have anything on this.
Well, Tannis has been camping 4Ks since startup.
Okay,
fair enough. How do you feel about it after our discussion here? Because, you know, I started out being against it, but I think I'm slowly moving towards being almost for this change. Any change in your opinion?
To be perfectly honest, I don't know enough to... It would never affect me, right?
Yeah, that's
like,
fair.
It just wouldn't.
That's fair. That's allowed. And just to update on all things Zamorak related, I'm currently holding the third last spot in the community for slowest 0% kill still at 27:44.
He specifically means for solo he has a faster duo time.
Yes.
And that solo time is from release day, so he's the OG. But he's very proud of it. We're very happy for him.
On your fresh start account, you got to go for a multi-hour kill. Really?
Oh my god! Yeah.
Do you remember like 2000 like old school fire cape where it took you like 4 hours to get to jail?
Oh yeah. Yes.
Be one of those. Get your get your 2 liters of Mountain Dew, a bunch of cheesy bread. Just sit there for 4 hours watching TV.
Yep. Just a whole baguette and a tub of butter.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, fresh start. Gosh. We'll get there soon. Before we move on to the rest of patch notes, I want to thank our Patreon supporters for this episode in particular. Amos Reed, Andrew C., Arvids L, Bear Down, Beekeeper Steve, Big Huge Rat, Bryflex, Chunk the Monk, Cycle RX, Diana, Dominic F, Drama Free, Elo Matey, Flazaman, Free Milk, Jacob G, Jade Gizmo, Jason S, Jeebus, Jesse W, Ling 01, Lucky Ducky, Mohan V, Nate the Great, Nick G, OTR Gamer, Parnassius, Renhawk, Ricky A, Samuel FL, Skiotan, Scott DS, Shirt Pants, Stub Eve, Tabby, The Naked Captain, Tom V, and Zant. Thank you everybody for your support. It truly means the world to us, and You guys really enjoyed the skill tier list. I'm pleased with that. And what I'm talking about is our last monthly bit. You can find it at patreon.com/rsbnb. You can gain access to that one and the entire back catalog of them for as little as $1 a month.
In addition, so many spicy takes.
Yeah.
So many.
Really, really. you gain access to those. You help fund the cost for hosting and production of RSBNB Update. And we just put up the next poll for the upcoming monthly bid and announced the roundtable for October 1st. We wanted to do that one after Fresh Start started so we'd have some input on that. But our next monthly bid options are going to be 21 years of RuneScape told in 21 quests, combat ability design, and Daily Scape Part 3. That's what we're polling for the next monthly bid. So go have a vote on those. And you get all that, and you get to be part of the Patreon community and gain access to all those monthly bids for as little as $1 a month. We also do have the VIP tier. For $3 a month, you'll get a VIP rank in the Discord, a mention on the podcast at the start of the month, and high-quality stereo versions of the show. And if you want to give the ultimate gift, we have a tier where you get a shout-out each and every week, and you gain exclusive access to the outtakes we use to make the clip show. So thank you, everybody, for supporting us. It truly means the world to us, and we love doing what we do here each and every week, and we love the monthly bits as well. Tanis, how do you feel so far after our tier list?
Oh, I felt good. I'm glad we were able to rein you in. And,
oh gosh.
and in other cases, raise you up because you just didn't want to give.
So you
just didn't want to give certain skills a fighting chance. Mm.
No spoilers, but patreon.com/rsbnb if you find that interesting. Thanks so much, everybody. All right. Continuing on patch notes, bronze boss titles have been updated so that each Enrage system of bosses now has new bronze titles achieved at 1,000% Enrage. And this is to fill the gap between filling the 500% Enrage title and the 2,000% silver title. And all future Enrage bosses will release with the base, the bronze, silver, and gold titles to reflect this change. Also,
probably do.
Yeah, very much so. The Dagonoth King pets have been visually updated to better reflect the bosses they came from.
My derpy dinosaur, my first pet that. Ever. I'm so sad about this.
This is the worst. This is the worst update in 3 years of this game.
And you know,
my derpy dinosaur is gone.
Earth
no.
said the exact same thing when it came to this.
I'm not surprised. He's a man of taste and culture. Oh, it hurts me.
And this is a project that they were working on since Osborne was around and was involved in one of their external productions on this. So this has been something that's been in the pipeline for a long time, but it's finally here. You know,
I after this, I went with my cannon to Falador Square to get a Fally Riot going.
Oh, that's hilarious. I mean,
it wounds me deeply.
On one hand, they made him more consistent with what the bosses actually look like.
Doesn't
right?
matter. Doesn't matter. I'm still angry about it.
Okay. Am I the only person who thinks they should look like how they do now and not what we had before?
I mean, if they'd done that when the bosses originally changed, sure, but I've had my dinner for too long. Like I'm attached.
Yeah, it was so hilarious that
they're such little derpies. Oh.
Like, could you imagine if this game is going strong 5 years from now and has been completely graphically reworked and everything looks fresh, but then you have these three pets from Legacy that are just obscene.
You'd want them so much more.
It's so funny.
They're so gross. They're so amazing. Ugh. Well, and maybe that's what we'll request next. We'll request that they make me a legacy boss pet. Retro boss pet.
Yeah. Maybe that's what this is.
Honestly?
Like a way of selling retro overrides.
I'd pay money for it. I'm not going to lie.
I bet you with that a lot of people would.
Oh, yeah.
They're such prestige pieces. Yeah, having access to an alternative look for them, people would probably. I don't know how much work it would be, because all of them are animated. Remember, they all have bones and stuff.
And I mean, the models still exist. So it'd just be finding a way of, you know, having a toggle for it, as is the case with
toggles, our favorite. Okay, anywho.
Yeah, Tannis, do you have any of these pets? You ever seen them before?
I've seen them. I don't have any of them.
You don't have any hard or strong feelings either way?
Not really when it comes to these, no.
Okay.
I'm going to have to hunt for a dragon. You're going to have to hunt for a dragon axe.
Who?
You might be able to find one who's going to sell one. Fresh Start, all of us.
Oh, yeah, right.
I mean, we're not technically Iron Men, but we need crystal axes. It's not really optional, you know? You're not going to sit around there with a tier now 40, I remind you, rune axe. Like, that tier 70 axe is looking nice, mighty nice for something that's only tier 70 gem flicks. Where's my Mkondo axe?
Yeah, I know that's a problem with woodcutting. Anyways, just a note here, this next one, all default gameplay settings have been updated for new players to offer an improved experience.
Good.
That's good. But for those of us who like the patch notes, I would love it if there would be some extra supplementary information about what exactly this means.
Oh, sure. So. I mean, here's my thing for that, is that I'm planning to start a new account next week. And I want to be active on release day. And, you know, everybody's making all these release day plans. Quick reminder, I don't know if anybody here has recently made a new account. The last time I made an account, and it has been a year, and I am still scarred from the almost 2 hours it had to take me to copy all of my settings over, right? The game something that isn't, like, ugly looking and has like,
you just sparked to
set up bars.
You
and,
just
like,
sparked something like, in Tannis's head because he has to do that too for the accessibility.
Yeah,
stuff.
I was like, no.
You need to like make notes on all of your settings and everything, because what are you going to do? You're going to have mobile open and try to scroll your settings in mobile and copy them? Like, I don't know what I'm going to be doing on Monday, but I really want to be doing this race to like, I don't want to race this stuff, right? I'm not going to log in right at start time. I'm not involved in the competitive side of this. I don't want to be. I just don't want to put that pressure on myself, but I don't want to spend 2 hours while everybody else is running around killing cows and chickens and like, you know, getting their first smithing levels and enjoying archaeology. Maybe that's it, actually. Maybe I'll go into archaeology and or divination or something, and while I'm training, I'll like take the hours to set up my settings while I'm AFKing, because like that has to happen. Quick reminder to everybody, that has to happen.
You're right, thinking about it, you know, I don't even know what settings I've changed, but I know they're not default. Mm-hmm.
All of them, Shane, all of them.
Yeah.
You know that. Yeah. You have very few base settings at this point. All of us have changed everything, so.
And then the last patch note, the money pouch tooltip has been reinstated. Okay. Alrighty. What we're calling this next one is the September 22 development update. It's not an updated roadmap. It's just a development update. Tannis, any initial thoughts on this before we dive in about where we're at? Because we have been wondering what exactly was going to be happening for the rest of the year and where we were at with headliners.
What I would say is there were some surprises for me, and there seems to be a decent variety of different kinds of updates that'll be coming.
Yeah, very, very varied, I will say.
Mm-hmm. It's not a 2021 where the year was focused on two quests and then a boatload of combat.
Yeah.
Curses, but like combat.
Yeah. So starting off, Wilderness Flash events happening in October. We don't know exactly what that means, but I mean,
I thought they said it was going to be like flash mobs, right?
Yeah.
Like, they'll be like random events effectively.
Maybe
just
kind
pop
of,
up in
maybe
the
kind of like the Zamorak pre-release
these,
kind of thing.
These like never do well. I don't know what the deal is, but I don't like, when have these ever been successful?
And I was a little
depends
bit
on the rewards, David. If they give them fatty rewards, people will show up.
Yeah, hopefully they learned from the release of the things that dropped Chaos Die rerolls that were just a complete
The Zamorak one. Go ahead, Tannis.
That was horrific.
Well, I was just confused because I thought they had mentioned like PvP again, and I'm like, what? Why?
Oh, why? Like they're gonna make these like war bands?
It's what it sounded like, and I just
interesting
to me. I'm like, you, what? Why?
Yeah. revitalize PvP. People don't want to revitalize PvP. That, there's no PvP.
Well,
there's
not that you can't. Yeah, well, and I mean, look, the Wilderness Reborn, cool, you know, you could definitely do something more with that, like, it's a worthy thing, but, I don't know, I just feel like RuneScape PvP is, you know, it's dead and gone.
It's primarily predatory, it's the, like,
yeah.
The I don't think this is going to be PvP, guys, I don't think this is going to be PvP.
Well, if it's not, then that's cool, too. I mean, even if it's just, like, you know, demon flash mobs.
Yeah, something community related, like, even similar to what we had for the Zamorak still, like, launch.
Every once in a while, I'll still go out and be like, hey, you know, clannies, do you want to just go kill this Zim boss? I just got a notification that it's spawning in 5 minutes at X location on this world. You want to come? And there's usually a couple of people that'll come because they drop scrolls and stuff that are good. It's just, you don't, but it's not a common thing, I don't think. No, a lot of them go unkilled. I know that.
Maybe I've got it mixed up because I thought this. Who's the new executive producer?
Mod Keeper.
Keeper.
This was in his statement talking about a new wilderness PvP type event, and I figured this was it once the development.
I'm trying to remember where PvP was, if that was mentioned at
if
all.
If it has skilling drops as good as Warbands, then people will do it. Like Warbands is still really popular. Like I basically don't log into my main anymore, but when I was, one of the few things I did was Warbands because that is just, it is completely insane how good it is.
Next thing for Tanis, Master Maxscapes 120 virtual 120s all.
Oh, how do we feel about this?
I'm most excited about this, actually.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. You know, out of everything, this is more exciting to me.
You've been working on your 120s for a long time. That's been a long time earlier. So that's actually really cool. This gives you a goal. This gives you an end product. So
it's like maxing again, but it's like maxing for 2022, right? Like the modern era of maxing.
It's the rare thing. It's the moat plaques. It's the, like, you know, it's the, oh, you have the shiny. That shiny takes time and effort, and I respect that.
Do you feel okay about
except
it?
You have 28 of them.
Do you feel okay about it doing it with just virtual 120s?
You know, I've really kind of just gotten over the whole virtual thing because sometimes you see skills that they've done really, really well at go to 120, and sometimes you see skills
archaeology
that haven't done so well going to 120.
Wow, we're shame.
So, Slayer.
I'm surprised you didn't say Slayer.
I don't disagree with any of that. You're not lying.
Slayer is lovely. I mean, I didn't like Slayer when I was doing it, but in hindsight, Slayer was lovely.
The Slayer 120 cape perk is amazing.
The 120 cape perks in general. That cape perk is great. There could have been a better rollout for 120 Slayer, I think, but
yeah, I agree.
At this point, it's really about the training. I don't think the training methods really change that much when they do add content, and so I don't know. I kind of like it.
Yeah, I'm with Tanis. I think this is awesome. On my main, I only play on double XP because I've been going for 120s.
So here's,
I've got like seven skills left or something, so I still got a while to go, but I'll get this at some point. It'll be fun.
I may try to do this on my main just to get she's relatively close. Man, I don't know. It's,
I still have the philosophical problem of getting 120s that aren't real 120s for me personally, but that's a me problem.
I appreciate
not a game
them
problem.
Putting the reward on it. We'll see how cool the cape. We'll looks. Have, if the cape
exactly.
looks really cool, I'm gonna get it.
We'll have to see what the reward and whatnot is. Yeah,
it's like fake boobs. They're playing the part.
My eyes are rolling back so far now.
Yeah, I can see it. No, but I mean, again, like, I think it's a cool thing. I think it's a good reward to have in the game. I think it probably should have been in the game when they put 120 capes out. We'll see what it looks like. I'll be angry on Reed's behalf for giving content to skills that aren't real. And, you know, all of that. When this first came out, my thought was like, oh, yeah, this should be like a, you know, there should just be a cape for all of the non-virtual 120s. And then I'm like, yeah, wait, that's just comp, isn't it? Never mind.
Well, and like, it's like, do you want to wait another 20 years? Because that's what you'll be waiting.
They would release this right now, and it would only require you to have farming, herblore, slayer, dungeoneering, you know, the ones
archaeology that are real. Archaeology invention,
yeah. which is not enough, this skill roster. And the other part of this, too, is I think what is overdue and what is being silently said here, and my strong pitch for this, is there are a lot of people, and Tennis, I would put you in this bucket, who play the game to skill, who just play the game because they enjoy like the chill idle clicker, the XP farm is satisfying to them, the like whatever it is, efficiency, or just playing the game for the XP. This gives them something to work on in the same way that Trim gives something for the achievements, and, you know, Final Boss or Insane Final Boss gives something for the PVM. Like, this gives them, I just totally want to skill and I don't give a fuck about your quests.
I totally agree. This was the most appealing part of the complicated comp rework to me. Mm-hmm. This was the thing that I was excited about.
Real big
about.
Reward for actual skillers. The actual people who play the game to skill and chill. This is for them, and this is a great reward.
All right, I'm going to reframe this then. This is the skilling comp cape.
Yeah, I think
so. Getting the complicated comp rework in pieces.
I mean, comp or almost trim, because it's a lot more than what comp would necessarily give you. But think about it.
That whole rework, if you take away the cosmetic.
Oh no,
part
that's
of the
it.
Cape,
this is what it is. Yeah,
this was a part of it. Decoupling combat.
A lower cape was a part of it. MQC,
was part of it. Yeah. Like all of this we're getting all those parts that were there.
This is a master accomplishment cape. It is. In a way that it is not including accomplishment necessarily, but it, like cape of accomplishment.
I just want you two to be aware that you're selling this to our community, because our community was one of the biggest proponents of that alternate comp cape rework.
Again, I don't know that we needed to, but no. I think there's a very large, relatively quiet majority of players who are skillers, even who may also have comp, but mm-hmm. they've gotten comp, and then instead of going the PVM route, they went the skilling route and said, I just want to skill and chill, and have working on all 200s, and there's a ton of those people. There are at least, I'm going to say, as many of them as there are PVMers, and that is a hot take, even where the game has been recently.
I think there are way more people who are going for-
So. This is a great reward to have in the game. I'm not going to say it promotes a necessarily healthy playstyle. I'm not going to say necessarily that it promotes like a lot of things, but it's a good reward to notice the effort that people have put in. So take it or leave it. We could make an argument either way. It's worthwhile.
All right, you guys have made me
look
into it. You guys have made me look.
The only counter argument is it's certainly a money grab. I don't. Like, I'm not against it. I don't think it's a bad thing.
Oh, incentive to play the game and to buy membership? Maybe.
No. Keys.
Oh.
Obviously, the best way to get $20.
Oh, you think so?
Clearly, you spend. That's by far the best way to get the 120 cape, because the amount of hours it would take you to get 120 all versus the amount of hours it would take you to
Chrysler and crafting. It's true. It's true.
It's way more efficient.
That's too much money to look. I am all for Jygex making money, but
doing it through PVM and doing it with bonds.
I'm not talking about it. He's not. It's
too much money for this game.
Ooh. This creates a big incentive, an even bigger incentive to buy treasure hunter keys, but whatever. I think that's fine. But yes, I mean, as Shane was alluding to, the best form of skilling for many skills is to do 2449s, buy bonds, turn the bonds into keys, and then spin on good promos. Like, if you want 200 mil rune crafting and you don't want to buy keys, the way you should do that is do 2449s and then buy bonds and then buy keys and then spin 200 mil rune crafting. That is much faster than 450k XP an hour.
Totally a prerogative. Of course, I look at that as getting Insane Funnel Boss by leeching. However you do it, I'm not here to judge. But
You guys are convincing me that this is actually a good thing. I'm not necessarily going to go for it, but you guys have done it. We'll also expect more retro cosmetic overrides along the way this year, more ninja strikes as well. The Jagex launcher will be getting more features this year. Also, we'll be getting a new skilling location in the vein of the accidental fire making and fletching update this year too. So that should be interesting.
Oh, that's for 2022?
Yeah.
I thought that was 2023. I thought that was 23.
That was a typo on my text version of the notes. On the infographic, it says 2022.
I thought they talked about that on the stream. I thought they said 2023.
Yeah. Okay, maybe the infographic is wrong then.
Oh, who knows? It's coming at some point. It probably will be around the end of the year if they're waffling.
Yeah. All right.
New storyline next year. It looks like they're doing chapter-based storyline, which I kind of like. They're doing every year is a new story. And I'm, as a person who likes guaranteed quest content and having at least one storyline every year, sounds okay to me.
Hey, Tannis, that kind of fits in our expansion model.
I was going to say, you know what that kind of sounds like?
I mean, if they release a large quarterly quest, it's not a quest every month, but if I know a quest is coming every 3 months, I'm going to keep my membership up for it. Like, they're going to get me in that way. They are. We'll do it. $5 a month, but still. Yeah.
Speaking of early 2023 updates, the death cost and GE tax update has been pushed back to early 2023, so we have that. We'll talk more about that when we get the details on it.
They did justify they gave us a reason why it got delayed, which I appreciate.
Well, I knew that we were talking a death cost rework, but when did the GE tax become an actual thing?
The GE tax, they say.
It was announced.
Yeah, it was a little while ago.
Yeah.
Month and a half.
Yeah, that was when you were off with your stomach problems.
Okay, so was that like, do we know, is this going to hit merchers or is it going to hit
everyone?
Us poor some bitches out here that everyone. Are just trying to make a living?
It's going to be a 1 or 2%.
Yeah, I think it's a 2% tax on everything. And the idea behind this was that you can then do the death cost rework with the money you take out of the GE on that.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, we had a whole discussion on that.
I bet you love it, Shane. This is a regressive tax.
I was initially against it, but I'm now for it.
Yeah, or in other words, a flat tax, so we can subsidize all the PBMers and, awesome, cool.
I thought you were on for that episode thinking about it.
I was for taxing. I'm not for regressive taxing.
Tennis, they're also going to raise the GE cap by a max cash worth of max cash stacks. So
any item in game will be purchasable on the GE.
Any item in the game is going to. So the PVMers are also going to get taxed on this for any drops we sell. It's going to go to everybody's going to get hit by this equally. I mean, everybody's going to get hit by it regardless.
Are they
going
to get hit by it if it's peer-to-peer?
If it's peer-to-peer, no.
Well, there you
will escape it. Yeah, PVMers aren't going to be bothered with that.
Yeah, no one knows. PVMers are never going to.
Y'all want to trade skilling supplies, you could do that, but no, PVMers going to care. And Merchants World 1 or 2 may be alive again. Ooh, good for them. Kind of.
God damn, if we could only get the real stock together market to once. Tax 1%, we'd have free education and healthcare around this bitch.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I messed things up. The new training method, like the accidental one, is coming in 2023, but we do have a new skilling location this year as well.
Location this year. Yes, that's true.
Oh, could that be a wilderness dig site?
Yeah, I think it'll be a wilderness dig site, and then the wilderness dig site will have like a couple.
It'll have some other.
It just makes sense.
Yeah, it'll have mining or something. It'll have a space for the new skill, probably. Whatever the new skill is going to be, there will be a spot for it.
With the way it works now, I don't even see how you would be able to do archaeology. You can't be AFK,
and you have to have combat equipment on.
It doesn't matter if you're not AFKing. I'm saying you can never do archaeology because you're never going to clear the mob around you.
You just bring
combat cube. You'd be fine. You just teleport out once your threat level gets too high and reset it. It's not going to be that big.
I couldn't teleport when I was surrounded by just some abbeys and wards and shit.
You should be able to teleport.
You can teleport below 30 wilderness, assuming you're using a glory, and below 20 wilderness if not using a glory.
I thought they removed that limitation. I thought you could teleport
out. Nah. Oh, no, not at all. No. If you're in like level 50 wilderness, you can't teleport out without a... Yeah.
No. All right. We'll see. I want to move to what everybody's most focused on, and that we talked about the new storyline for 23, but there's also a new skill coming in 2023 as well.
Woo! Let's go!
I'm sailing away.
Did someone call for a necromancer? Or a bard?
Okay. I have a couple things I want to say to open this discussion up on this. The first things I am very optimistic about is that Mod Ryan and Mod Timbo are amongst the people, part of the team working on the new skill. Both those two were on archaeology, and Tanis, you remember our catchphrase we coined after archaeology, in Timbo we trust.
Yeah, I learned a lot from archaeology, and this is what I will say. There's a skill that I think it could be that, frankly, I don't want and I have no interest in. But that being said, you know who had no interest in archaeology and didn't want it?
You.
No, Sirion. Remember?
Oh yeah, right.
And then he tested it. He's like, oh, this is cool. Oh, I hope I have that same experience. That's what I'm hoping for. Like, that would be the best thing ever.
Let's get some things on the table here.
Let's make Sirion really angry by talking about things that could be and not things that are.
Right.
Yes. I'm so excited.
the prevailing thought amongst the community is that it's going to be necromancy.
And here's my argument for this from a gameplay perspective only. I could care less from a lore perspective. I mean, obviously I care from a lore perspective, but I hope they do a good justification if that's what this ends up being. What I think is happening is that there are things like potions that last, you just activate and you don't have to worry about like upkeep time on it or anything. And then you've got stuff like prayers, which are passive buffs that are applied more temporarily that you have to upkeep more regularly. We've got summoning, which is a long form like thing that is around to help you. But what I could see with necromancy is the like old school thrall system. And in old school, they have these thralls, right? You can summon a specific combat style that stays to help you. It's honestly kind of basically a dreadnip. Let's be totally frank. It's just a dreadnip with better damage. But we don't have something like that. That is the like, I summon this for 20 or 30 seconds and it just does some extra damage to things around me. And I think like that Archaeus style of old school players spellbook where it's, you know, you're reanimating, like, but again, like you're reanimating stuff for prayer XP, like no, archaeology XP or not. Wow. Necromancy XP. I don't like, there is a gameplay option there if they were looking for a skill to make combat even more complicated, but
right, and the question with that is then, how does that lean into the combat system, and how does that lean into summoning? Because I also think there's a very strong case that if you were to take summoning to 120, you just do necromancy as the post 99 training method on that.
I think you're
correct. And so because of that,
combat doesn't need to be more complicated. I kind of hope it's not a combat skill, and I kind of expect that it will be. Unfortunately,
and because of that, I don't think it's going to be necromancy. I think they're going to do what they did with archaeology, where the survey said do necromancy, but they did something else entirely. Whereas the community time says do necromancy, I think it's going to be something else entirely.
From your lips, God's ears. I hope so.
I mean, they could do any kind of like, yeah, I don't know. Go Tins. Sorry.
Well, I mean, I'm really with you, Shane. I feel like. Necromancy is, we have necromancy. It's called summoning. We could make it a lot better. You could take it to 120. And where is all the power creepers at? Why aren't they bitching and crying and throwing?
Because they like power creep. David likes power creep.
Don't you, David?
I mean, you know, it's funny though because it seems like I saw a video like a week ago where it was the worst thing that ever happened in the world, and now it's the coolest thing ever. Give us necromancy. I don't get that shit.
Right.
Well, I don't necessarily think it's the same people who are saying that.
No. And the thing is, if you do necromancy as well as a combat skill, how does that lean into skilling? Because we need to be real, unless necromancy is a pure combat skill,
how would you make necromancy a non-combat skill? I mean, I guess you could make it a generic support skill and say it. There's also necromancy like abilities you can activate that give buffs to. Like, it would just be a generic support skill at that point.
And the thing is, then, if it's going to be a combat skill, are we increasing the combat level by another 12 like we did the summoning?
It would have to be a combat skill. There's it would make no sense. Just thematically,
it would just be alternative magic. It would be the lunar spellbook V2. Yeah.
Exactly. You could call it Golem King. I mean, it would make no sense.
And everything we're talking about here points to the direction that it won't be necromancy, because none of this, I think, can be structured in the form of a skill. So I don't think it's going to be necromancy.
Here's the deal, right? We've got four types of skills.
Yeah.
We've had our most recent skill is a gathering skill, technically. And I think they wouldn't do another gathering skill as much as it would potentially.
Combat bonuses of any skill.
it's good. It had combat benefits. It had, you know, a number of scaling benefits. It impacted everything else. It was effectively a support skill as well in some ways, in many ways. They could make a support skill. The support skill would have, like, there's not a lot of niche room left, right? When we're coming up with buffs for stuff, it's hard. So unless they spent a lot of dead time on it and looked up at those hard things and said, hey, here's, you know, we can add stuff in a reward space here. I'm wondering if it's going to be some kind of a production skill that produces something from nothing. Which maybe like, I don't know. Necromancy would also, you'd have to have corpses lying everywhere. Like,
wilderness is a perfect opportunity for that.
I think you're on to something there, Daxi, but let's not forget, invention was first and foremost a combat skill that was later expanded to make it a proper support skill. But when it came out, it was not, it didn't have shit
with
combat.
Hold on. The other, I mean,
still some stuff, but
the perks for combat were like unworkably bad though when it came out. Like,
but that's how you trained it.
Massively changed.
Yeah, but well, no. I mean, you trained it with combat.
On release, you trained it by making gizmos.
The whole first week of release, let's forget that ever happened.
I still remember disassembling magic longbows.
That first week, it was just, no.
But like, again,
forget that it even happened.
But that was how it was designed, right? It wasn't just that first week. It was that first week and of the 6 months before that when they were designing and implementing the skill. That's how the skill worked. So like,
that should have been, but it should have been caught. You should never have to do 1500% like that. But here's my thing. If you've come up with the perfect formula, you got the serum to eternal life here. Or are you going to turn around and drink some Robitussin? I
kind of hope it's not a combat skill, because I think combat in RuneScape is already kind of overcomplicated and people want to simplify that down to some degree in terms of like looking at the number of switches going down, the number of abilities that you need to use going down, the complication of perks, and like they're slowly phasing towards a simpler combat system. I can't imagine them saying, oh, also here's two extra buttons you have to press every 40 seconds to give yourself buffs.
I just want to say
you just talked me out of saying
Yeah,
me
I know.
And you, I think we just talked ourselves out of it.
Oh, I know. I know. Necromancy is a horrible idea.
I don't think it is.
Yeah.
Nice.
I don't think it's going to be necromancy. Timbo said on Twitter, I know it's late, but I'm part of the amazing team working on the new skill. I had so much fun designing archaeology, learned a lot from its release, and can't wait for you all to see what we have planned.
Yeah. I hope it's a production or support skill. I hope that it is a production or support skill. And with that in mind, all training every support skill is disgustingly obnoxious. Like, there are people that violently hate, everybody violently hates at least one support skill. Very few people hate Slayer. Sorry, Shane. Congratulations.
Check out our tier list to find out which one.
But, like, you know, and I'm not going to reference where things go on that tier list, but things like, you know, agility, things like, you know, prayer. There are people, we're going to be cursing prayer next couple of weeks as we're like, where the heck can I get bones? Because I need protection prayers and piety on my new account.
It's extremely easy.
It's true.
As an Iron Man, but getting your own stuff for prayer is wildly easy. Because
and the point about all
you get access to the Chaos Altar instantly.
We know it's also on the record that it's going to be not just a simple, you know, a simple divination-like skill. There's actually going to be a core loop around the skill. They have revealed that. So it's going to have some good design element behind it.
Well, I was going to say, we're sailing, baby.
If they lean into the meme, yo, that'd be a great way to use the other aspects of the Eastern Isles. Wait, yes. That's actually kind of hot. Oh, and the environment team's been doing so good lately, and they haven't had... We don't know what the environment team's in.
Oh... We're sailing, man.
What about cosmology? Cool. I've seen a lot of cosmology.
Astronomy, cosmology. I have too.
Because there's the cosmology wiki page keeps getting linked because pretty much every single lore of all the popular stuff in the culture is all going like multiverse, and RS has its own multiverse, obviously.
Yeah. So here's my question though. What's the gameplay loop with that? Like, what do you do? Are you traveling? Are you using the world gate?
You would use the world gate, and the skill would involve like traveling through new worlds, and it would basically
probably mapping.
Like it would work very similar to
like Shattered Worlds, but for a skill. Archaeology, but Shattered Worlds.
Archaeology, but you like go through different.
Interesting.
And so there's like an abyss skilling area. A Zanaris skilling area and a Frenesque skilling area, but like maybe they're called different things or something.
And then when you factor in
totally opposed.
And when you factor in the environment team, when you factor in everything about what we've seen with Shattered Worlds, what that's become, and then how you would throw an archaeology kind of loop onto that, you start to have something that's already infinitely more compelling than necromancy. So, you know, I'm gonna go out there and say it's not necromancy.
We've said it before.
Yeah, join Team Cosmology, Shane.
No, thank you.
We said it before. We should say it again. And Timbo, we trust, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm looking forward to seeing what they give us. To close out our discussion on this and make Shane very anxious to move on, I'm also going to mention that I have seen milking as a skill proposition. And that could be interesting.
Like milking cows.
Absolutely.
Well, you can
Shane.
Milk anything with nipples, Shane.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also luck. A lot of MMOs have a luck skill. We don't. Maybe the real fix to drops taking too long to get is to add a luck skill.
Kill me now.
You just asked for this like 30 minutes ago. You were like,
I want
luck
things
is
to be
bad.
More. I want things to be more common. Luck as a skill. How would I'm picturing another archaeology here, or another agility
like
here.
You get like boons that improve your luck for various things.
I was really hoping that the milk would come and would be met with an immediately, okay, let's move on. Let's talk about the Fresh Start World changes.
But we can talk about boons with Fresh Start Worlds. Is that something that is happening? Fresh Start Worlds is happening on Monday. It'll open up at 9 a.m. game time. You can get into the world starting at 12. There's going to be, I think they said 9 worlds to start off with. So it's going to be
very full.
They're going to keep everyone nice and cozy.
Yeah.
Which
is going to be stuttery.
But the main thing we have to talk about with Fresh Start this week is that the bond system has been put in where you'll be able to get codes. You'll be able to effectively redeem a bond. It'll give you a code, and then you can use that code to redeem membership on a Fresh Start account, or you could just give it to a friend for membership with that. So that system is now in place.
Overdue. Very nice.
Yay.
And there's a full, and I'll make sure I link this in the show notes, there's a full rundown of exactly how this works and what steps you'll need to take come Monday on this. So I wanted to make sure we had that in there as well.
There was a TLDR, there's Too Long Didn't Want To, it was a whole stream about it. And the other thing to note too that they released with this is a lot of the actual math behind it. It makes me very happy that I can now theory craft the fastest way to earn progress points so I can get a hold of my boons rather quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's go through some of that. So progress points will be given for every 500 total levels, 50 quest points or 2000 rune score. And it will take each time you get one of those, that'll give you a chunk towards the Halo of Returning, which will be the common one.
No, not that, the boons, the actual boons. They released the mechanism, so every time you earn one quest point, that's 25 points towards your next reward in the boon store for this. It's 5 times your total level, so every level you gain is 5 points, every quest point is 25 points, and every rune score is 1 point. So you hit the big money achievements, the easy big money achievements, the meme achievements, effectively. And then you ramp up fast total level and you do some of those early quests, like, you know, your Romeo and Juliet equivalents. Obviously, the quest is not a real thing anymore. They give like 8 quest points for no apparent reason. And you just like, aha, I immediately have free run and it is lovely.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
That's...
So is that the one you're going for first, the endurance one?
TBD, Boon of Endurance. I mean, I don't know how to read this chart that they posted here. So I'm not going to, I want free run. I mean, I love training agility. Don't get me wrong. It is one of my favorite skills just because I like being different. Oh my God, I'm so different. and difficult, but I just like the AFK of it. Having free run is going to be nice for early game.
We also got the XP multipliers. They'll start at 1.5x for the first 2 weeks, then increase to 2.5x, and there'll be an extra modifier for levels under 70, so it's not nearly as expansive as it was before with that.
Well, it's they just lowered it at all times. You are getting 0.5 times less XP, is my understanding with that, at all times from where they were.
Yeah, but it looks
until
entirely
the last
different.
Like weeks of it.
Looks entirely different, and it, you know, just sells differently with that too. So
I mean, 1.5 slowly ramping to 2.5 as opposed to 2 ramping to 3 with an extra 1x multiplier.
Yeah,
extra week 8, I think.
And that's the thing. It feels different than saying 2 to 3 because you got that 1 in front of it. It's a psychological thing.
Oh, sure, but the actual functional difference is
0.5. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not going to be, I mean, it's 25% less scaling down to, you know, 17% less, so. It's significant.
Well, it psychologically worked on me because I thought, this is the biggest thing that stuck out to me, and it made me think, you know, when we first talked about this, when it was first announced, I was excited, but I was also a little bit leery because I was like, oh, what is this going to do?
Mm.
And I'll be the first to admit I was wrong. But I was wrong in the way that when you learn something, you're wrong because you don't know any better at first. And when you really start thinking about it, you kind of come around. It's like when you learn something in school, you know, like it seems to be at odds with how you see the world, but then all of a sudden you're like, oh, wait. That actually makes sense.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I was. And then when I saw what the rates were now, it kind of took some of that, it dampened some of that excitement. I mean, I'm still doing it. I'm still excited to do it. I still think it's going to be a lot of fun. But it definitely dampened that. from me. And I wish that really? I could have seen it from the beginning, but I just didn't. I had to learn. I had to grow.
That's interesting.
I wished everyone else had done that.
That wasn't the case for me at all.
Really?
Yeah, no, in terms of the XP rates. The XP rates were secondary almost for this. It was more the fresh economy aspect that did it for me. But
well, are you surprised that the XP rates is what I came around for and said, oh, wait a minute, this is going to be kind of neat. This is going to be fun.
No, that makes sense from your perspective, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other information we got, the armor that you'll be able to get through this can't be augmented, and it is hybrid armor. So there goes that idea. So you'll still have to find your best tier 70 that you can augment if you want to do that. Sunspear is still
tier
70
power armor. Tier 7 power armor. Or if you want tank armor, augmentable barrows. But yep. No, it's probably going to be a rush for God Wars for a lot of this.
Yeah, that makes sense. And that's what we thought in the initial theory craft part of this. Mm-hmm. I'm really looking forward to Fresh Start. I think the skills I'll be going for are farming, woodcutting, and archaeology. Tanis?
Took the day off. That's how excited I am about it. and I'm going to be the ultimate gatherer. Also, if I have any time, I will also be smithing. So if you want your power armor, you can come and see me if you can handle, you know, melee. Because I will be able to make tier 9 or 90.
Every 12 hours of work, I remember what I was going to say, too, is that God Wars 1 has much lower defensive values, and I think if you're below level 99 in stats, you might have some trouble with God Wars 2. More trouble than you're thinking with God Wars 2. But, I mean, it's still going to be doable. It's just going to be it'll be long and slow. But we'll see.
Kind of. I did Vindicta with a Guthic staff and
okay, so you know what she is.
And it was totally fine.
Alright, fair enough. Fair enough.
The only difference is it's slower.
Yeah, it's slower. You have to have food. But that's doable.
Anything else from Fresh Start? I think that covers most of it. We'll, of course, be jumping in next week. I imagine that's what the bulk of our coverage will talk about next week in the roundtable and so on and so forth. So,
yeah, worth mentioning as well that at least point value wise, again, remember 1,000 points to get your level changing weapon, 500 points to get your level changing armor. So in the levels before you get invention unlocked, which is for a lot of people going to be a lot of the time they play.
That's going to be good armor.
Those are going to be unlocked. Yeah, I mean, that's what, 40 quest points. So Dragon Slayer, effectively, by the time you complete Dragon Slayer, you'll have armor and weapon. And that's even without counting in total level. And 1,000 points in total level is 200 total level gained. I don't know if that's too... Yeah, it must be gained. Otherwise, you just straight up start off with 500 points. So, or not quite, but a lot. So... Actually, yeah, I don't know. Maybe you do start off with level 10 hit points and 27 other levels, so you might just start off with like 200 points. I guess that wouldn't be terrible. You might only have to get like 100 levels to get your armor, so...
Not bad.
Hey, and finally, my last thought.
Yeah.
Safecracking is a thing. It exists.
Not at level 1, but later.
Yeah, it doesn't take long to get to
it doesn't take
whatever
long.
It was.
55 or 60 or whatever.
That'll be fine.
Those doors are going to be very busy.
And there's only going to be 9 worlds worth. So.
And there's only 9 worlds worth. Oh no. That's going to actually... We're going to actually have to train thieving? What?
Well, you can tell how excited we're getting here with this, so we'll move that on to next week. In the interest of everybody's sanity here at the podcast, I changed my pick of the week out to a different one. I'm going to save the other pick of the week for when someone else is on the podcast who will appreciate it more.
Wow. But, he doesn't think. Okay, that's fine.
But I have to do this as pick of the week because we didn't talk about it on Tech News the other week, Tanis. iOS 16. That had to be pick of the week, I feel, just because of some of the accessibility features and some of the features that came with it as well on it. How have you been enjoying iOS 16?
I haven't yet, so please.
Oh, okay. So I have to sell iOS 16 then. All right. So one of the first features in the Android people have had this since the very beginning is that we now have customizable lock screens on iOS.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
You didn't before?
No, we didn't.
Well, apps in Android. Carry on.
So you'll be able to add some widgets to the lock screen, change the font on the lock screen, and, you know, in general, just change, I guess, the styling of the text and how that interacts with the background as well. And it does this depth effect you can turn on with the background to the point of the example given is if you have a landscape up, it will make it so that part of, let's just say, the mountains or the trees in front in the foreground appear on top of the clock in terms of layering, just to kind of add a little bit of dynamic features to it. So the customizable lock screens aren't my personal favorite feature of it. My favorite feature of it is something I've used a few times already, is that there is a new feature within the Photos app within Safari, anywhere you can view a photo on iOS, or any image rather. And all you do with this is you just press and hold on a certain image, and it's actually able to extract that part of the image dynamically. And the example that I did with this is that I had a screenshot from RuneScape Mobile of my character, and, you know, it was a very busy screenshot with, you know, the Archaeology Guild in the background and whatnot, and iOS just worked completely and was able to extract my character with no problem with it. And this will work for any photo. It'll work for people. It'll work for objects. And this
even
is something...
the particles on your farming or your comp or whatever cape you had on, it had the particles in the trail of your cape, too. It was,
yeah.
I was impressed.
And it did an alpha layer on that, too. It wasn't just jaggedy around the edges. So that was neat to see with that. But, you know, that's something that people have been doing painstakingly for years in Photoshop and whatnot as well, but that's just a core feature now of iOS 16. And, you know, we're still early days on things like Apple's attempt to eliminate passwords in Safari, so I'm not 100% there on that yet, but I'm moving into the accessibility side of this right now, and this is something that might help you, Tanis, is that if you're watching a video and there's text in that video, you can now pause that video and press and hold on the text in that video where it's paused, and you can copy that text, or you could even just have Siri read it out to you. So if there is a part of a video that you were watching that you needed to have read out to you that was text, the phone can do that now without any additional software.
Oh wow, that's super cool, because like if I come across the YouTube video, you know, and it's all text, I'm like, oh
yep. Yep. So you just press pause and it'll be able to read it out to you.
Wow. Okay.
It also works for doing translations as well. So if you're out and about, you just pull the camera up and you can start translating things. And continuing on the accessibility side, for dictation with that, you can let's just say it's a more fluid dictation experience in terms of being able to insert punctuation and emojis and whatnot, so that if you're talking, it will automatically insert commas and periods and question marks for you as you dictate, knowing the context of what you're speaking. So it'll try and punctuate better for you. And that's kind of where I wanted to lean in on the accessibility side with you was those two.
That's awesome. So you mean you're telling me that I won't be texting you saying that we're going to go down to the mall and riot and stuff anymore?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. That's right. Okay. All right.
Yeah. And you'll be able to insert all the emojis and whatnot that you want. You'll be able to insert all the
less question marks from Shane.
Exactly.
What?
And less intentional racial slurs from you. Unintentional racial slurs from you on that.
Oh, boy. Well, that's something for the clip show.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's
now
Siri.
And then I think the final thing I'll say accessibility wise for you is that you can actually use it now as a viewfinder, and you could effectively hold your phone up and it will tell you whenever you're walking up to a doorway, and it'll tell you if you're going the right way or whatnot on the accessibility side. So
wow.
Okay. Install iOS 16 ASAP.
Yeah. No, I'm going to have to now. All right.
And I realized we didn't talk about this with tech news, and I realized we hadn't talked about it at all on the show. And I was enjoying several features of it, and I know you always get something from the accessibility side, so I figured iOS 16 would be a good pick of the week this week.
It's a great pick. That's one of the things. I used to get my Apple news from our tech news segment. Like, that was always what informed me. Yeah.
All right. Start us off with some achievements.
All right. So, starting off, we have the RRO with 99 strength on September 21st. And then we have Lord Dusty with 120 agility. Ouch! On September 20th. And then, I wonder if that's Duro.
I think Dr. Rowe, if I remember the
Dr.
way it was
Rowe, okay. Dr. Rowe with 99 defense again on September 18th.
Then on the 18th, continuing, we have Iron Ass with 99 divination. Legion 1943 with 120 ranged, and Worst Tasker with 99 agility.
On September 17th, we had Iron Ass with 99 thieving and 99 hunter.
And Iron Ass, very busy ass this past time with 99 thieving and use with 200 mil crafting.
All right. Well, way to work that Iron Ass off.
Or sorry, 99 summoning for Iron Ass. I got confused because Thieves was the next name.
Fair enough. All right. What have we been doing, David, aside from podcasting from the car, which I think is a first? What have you been up to on RS recently?
I haven't been playing a ton, so mostly just dailies, but what I have been doing is still going for Fractured Staff of Armadil. I'm one of three. I'm almost 600 solo. Starting to change my opinion about this boss being S tier, because after you've done 600 of them, my god, it is so boring. I feel like I'm watching paint dry for hours and hours and hours trying to get this staff completed, but maybe one day I will.
I think
the
rest of us said
pieces.
That when we were rating it.
Yeah. Yeah, too many hours of the same thing over and over.
Oh, and by the way, if I can call out another achievement from the RSBNB Discord this week, Sparty Pants got two pieces of the Fractured Staff in one kill.
Yeah, that's really make you feel, what David. I want to hear right now. Thank you very much. I'm about 550 kills dry on a staff piece.
It's not great.
One day the game will be accessible again, but currently the entire game is locked behind these two staff pieces, so just waiting till I get to play the game again.
All right, how about you, Tanis?
Well, I too have been working on my Fractured Staff, but I'm doing it in, you know, an honest day's work and the smithery.
Okay.
No, I've been back to the plate bodies, and I am on task 49 of the Yak Track, and I can 100% assure you that those capes, yeah, super rare. I haven't gotten crap out of my Yak Sack. None, nothing, zilch, nada.
Well, you'll soon be able to farm them as you continue to make plate buddies. And when you first said that, I definitely thought you said in the misery instead of in the smithery. And I'm like, what? Tanith, I'm projecting.
No, I'm it's been a good week. And you know, this is kind of stuff I like. I'm moving into I'm about 16 mil away from 120 now, which isn't bad to make the kind of money that I've made and get 120. So, and it gave me something to do until Fresh Start World started. So, you know, can't complain.
All right. Sounds good. Daxi?
Oh, I've been having a lovely time in Elder Scrolls Online, let me tell you. No, I mean, I've been very excited this week. In-game, it's been primarily, you know, logging in to get a raid done every once in a while, see how the iron raiding scene was going on Tuesday when that released. Otherwise, just kind of vibing. Like I say, my usual game, I need content, I need updates, and I understand why they haven't been giving them to us as much for the last recent while. I'm very excited for Fresh Start Worlds. I have the last of the parts of my new computer, so I'm not playing all of my games on a 13-inch Mac laptop from 2017 anymore. The last parts arrived in the mail today, and I will pick them up tomorrow morning because I'm currently traveling out of town. And, just very excited to have that rolling. So that's honestly been my week this week. Just otherwise busy with school. So
all right, sounds good. As for me on RS this week, I have hit the ACT track pretty hard since we last spoke here. I think I was at around I was at around task 24 or so last week. I'm now at task 38.
Nice.
Are you going to try to finish it? Or are you going to keep playing the main? Once Fresh Start comes
See, that's the thing. I kind of want to try and get this done this weekend so that
AFK left a minute, laddie.
So that it's not going to be a huge problem in terms of distracting from Fresh Start and such. So
mobile's a thing.
Yeah.
Mobile is a thing. You could mobile AFK plate bodies.
Yeah, or divination energy if that's
get
a
your
thing
coal
too.
Auto heater out, get your, you know, you're offhand and your prayers going, just enjoy it.
Yeah, but same thing as what Tana said. My yak sack has been empty as well for shoulder capes. I really wanted the Stargazer one, but I'm not going to pay, you know, upwards of 900 mil for that. So
crazy.
Hell no.
Those better come back later because apparently the drop rate on them is not high enough.
No.
Like cosmetics, I understand, being very rare. That is fine to be for cosmetics to be expensive. I just dislike the new fun toys being expensive.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, I'm talking. Well. It is a cosmetic shoulder cape. Like it's
that's what
it's
I mean. That's what I mean. Yeah. I'm okay with it being rare and expensive.
Okay.
I'm a little sad, but I cannot be angry about that one. So
yeah, absolutely, fine. Absolutely. But you know. I will say the Yak Track north of Task 24 has been interesting in terms that it's felt relatively quick aside from a few tasks if you follow the Yak Track aside from the skill and kill. So there's that.
I mean, good, actually balanced for once. So that's nice.
whereas, you know, if you follow the skill and kill upwards, I think at Task 18, you're already looking at 3 hours for a skill and kill on that. So, I mean, not really
play
that
it anyway.
Feasible. And see, that's the thing. You can play it anyway. So,
yeah.
Or you can follow the Yak Track and away you go. But
I've done my whole Yak Track from mining and smithing.
Okay. And you're done?
Well, I'm on task 49.
Oh, my. Okay. Wow. That's a lot of hours.
Well, mobile's a thing.
Yeah. And you're in the smithery, not the misery.
And, that's right.
Anyways, folks, we'll be back next week for another episode of RSBNB Update, focusing on Fresh Start Worlds and whatever update launches with that. I'm assuming there will be something, patch notes or otherwise, but nonetheless, we'll be back next week. Best way to get us is to subscribe on your favorite podcast listener. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, Amazon, Pocket Casts, and more. We're also on YouTube at youtube.com/RSBNB. That's where you post the nibbles and the video versions of the show. Do like and subscribe there. It greatly helps the channel out. So with that being said, we'll be back next week for another episode of RSBNB Update. See you then, everyone. Take care.
See ya.
Bye. Ciao.